Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chiefs head to Miami on Sunday. We head to Miami on Sunday as well. 610 Sports Radio will be broadcasting live from Miami beginning on Monday morning. All the shows all day right here on 610 Sports Radio. We got you covered for the Chiefs down in Miami. Chiefs and Niners.
Is Binkley doing Bink on Sunday shows? Is he doing those on Sunday morning leading up to the Super Bowl this week? Because if he is, I'll call in from Miami. We're flying out early enough, man. We could hop on with Bink and do a little early Miami coverage on Sunday morning.
Is Bink doing a show?
That's a very good point. Silly. Ryan and I were having this discussion before the show about Jay Binkley, and I'll share it with you. We believe that Andy Reid and Jay Binkley are very much the same person. They have found what they love as a career and as a profession, and they just go ahead and do it. They just love what they do. I don't know if two people love what they do more than Andy Reid and Jay Binkley. I think it's very safe to say Andy Reid loves just coaching football and being a football coach. Jay Binkley loves talking about football. Those two guys have found their passion more so than anybody else.
Do what you love and you'll never work a day again in your life.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep.
Binkley's definitely never worked a day in his life.
No, he really hasn't. You worked with him for a while. You supervised him for a while. There's no question about that. Yes. We could use the term work loosely, but I think Andy Reid would say that as well. That dude is truly doing exactly what he loves. And this is the Super Bowl. This is the first time in 50 years. Andy's like, I just get another game to prepare for. I'm pretty excited about that. So I think those two guys, more than anybody in the world that I know, love their jobs more than anything else. And Andy Reid and Jay Binkley are more than happy to show up at any time, any day, anywhere, and do what they love. It's
two
February.
Big FDPs in a pot.
Yeah, I mean, it's February, right? And Andy's probably thinking to himself, I should be on the beach in Malibu at the new beach house with the grandkids. But I got another football game to coach. Cool. I'll go show up for that game. We'll see what happens. And Binkley's like, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, I'll be there. You know, so it's fantastic. They are two peas in a pod, Ryan.
Both like coaches' shorts, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, one is a coach and has the ability to wear them. The other is Jay Binkley.
I would like to see Jay Binkley start rocking the Air Force Ones.
Oh,
I think
he
could step his game up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if he could get Andy Reid's shoe game going on, that'd be fantastic.
So we'll be in Miami beginning on, we're heading there Sunday, but our first broadcast coming Monday morning. We may join Bink, though, at some point on Sunday. That would not be a surprise. Big 12 is expected to move quickly on Kansas and Kansas State, handing down their suspensions for four players involved in the fight at the end of Tuesday's game. Silvio De Sousa gets the stiffest penalty for Kansas because, I don't know, he did like three things that were wrong in that entire thing. But he's got a 12-game suspension, so he will miss the rematch game February 29th in Manhattan.
That's unfortunate.
He will be eligible again for the final regular season game before the start of the postseason. We'll see if he has any impact. And it's 12 games, a long time. Yeah. They kind of forget about you. David McCormick gets two games. K-State's James Love, he was the gentleman that came off the bench in street clothes. He gets an 8-game suspension. And Antonio Gordon gets three. Love is not eligible to play, so he would not serve the suspension until he is cleared. So,
he's got that lingering suspension.
That might even be next season.
Yeah,
I think that's the case probably for him. The two teams
he gave Love a bad name.
He again did. Meet February 29th in Manhattan. Feels pretty appropriate for all. I don't know if 12 games is harsh or not. Feels like it's I'm really don't have a problem with it.
Well, I don't know how they came. I don't know how you come to those numbers when you're kind of assessing things, when you're looking at suspension. I'm not arguing with the 12 games, but like how you come with 12 games and Ryan's like, that's probably how many games they have left. And that's what I thought too in the conference season, but they don't. They've got 13 games left in the conference season. So they cut KU a little bit of slack to give them
you get a tune-up
game before you head into Kansas City for conference play. You don't want Kansas to have to get ready for the NCAA tournament and tune up for that in the Big 12 tournament with a raw Silvio De Sousa, okay? You want that guy have a game under his belt, you know, get all the the cobwebs off and whatnot, and then be able to go and really, hopefully for them, play at a high level as you work back into the to the postseason. Would you be surprised if Bill Self like went heavier on those suspensions and said, D'Souza is done for the year? I mean,
I think they're taking what the
Big 12 gave and then just kind of move on from there. Yeah. But I could see, because obviously he helps them win more than
gets to the end of 12 games and he hasn't fulfilled the obligations they have set forth for him, and then extends it, because it was an indefinite suspension for D'Souza from Kansas before the Big 12 then announced things. So I guess you could have that scenario. I guess.
Right. You could.
If over the next 12 games he's not adhering to the standards in which they have set forth, he could be out longer.
Well, I think also you give the indefinite suspension, Josh, at that point in time, because you know the Big 12 is going to rule on this thing. So you don't want to come out as Kansas and go, well, we've suspended him for 3 games and have the Big 12 come out and hit him with a 12-game suspension. Yeah. So you just go with the indefinite suspension until you put the onus on the Big 12, you know, to kind of take care of business on all that. But I think the suspensions are all fair, all warranted, obviously, for both sides that are involved in that. I'm surprised more guys didn't get suspended, to be honest with you. I mean, that was a melee there at the end. Like, everybody was involved. You probably could have just suspended just about every one of the players on both sides.
I mean, I think they got the punch throwers.
Yeah, right. That's exactly
pretty much what it was.
And I think that's why D'Souza was suspended more than anybody, because he threw punches. It wasn't because of the chair. He didn't hit anybody with the chair.
Well, that look, I don't think can.
No, because you're seeing all the memes now. That's going to live with Kansas forever.
I don't care if he didn't swing the chair. Just the act of picking up the chair, I think, probably warranted a little stiffer suspension. And then they didn't penalize anybody that ran in.
Right.
I'm not saying they were helping, but they weren't escalating the situation. They got the punchers.
Right. The people who threw the punches and the people who, you kicked
or
people
stomp or stomped whatever,
or whatever David McCormick did. So you've got those suspensions that have been handed out, and rightfully so, and you kind of just move on. But, you know, the worst thing to come out of all of this is going to be Kansas is never going to live down that meme. The best one is with the Jayhawk with the chair over its head. I'm laughing hysterically every time I see that one on Twitter. There's like an NBA logo with him doing the thing with the chair. There's all kinds of just, you know, copious amounts of glorious memes with Silvio D'Souza in the chair. It's just really, 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 really funny and fun to look at. And that's something that's going to live with that guy forever. And it should. That's your defining moment as a basketball player right now. Not what you've done on the court, which I don't know really what he's done, but he's been nothing but a major headache and a distraction for that program at the University of Kansas since the day he walked in the door. And now here we are with a 12-game suspension. Kansas, again, as we said yesterday, putting in a lot of work, time, money, and effort, and a lot of people's time, money, and effort going to try to get this kid eligible and dealing with all of that. And then you got a 12-game suspension because he's wielding a chair at the end of a game against Kansas State. So ultimately, the suspensions are warranted, and we can move on and talk about college basketball in March.
when everybody is fully eligible.
Right,
again.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's where that's going. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. You found a trend that you don't like, that does not bode well, that's got you a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I think it should. I think this is one of those trends that is just like, oh my God, like this is just a wow one, right?
Well,
like
you
this
don't is weird, believe it, right? You're like, oh, I don't know,
right? So this comes from the Las Vegas Review Journal, where the Raiders officially became the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. It was official.
Yep. It
is official. And right now, the Las Vegas Raiders, as we're looking at them, right, we call them the Las Vegas Raiders right now. The Las Vegas Raiders, every time they move and play their final season somewhere else, the 49ers win the Super Bowl. In 1981, the Raiders moved from Oakland to L.A., and the San Francisco 49ers won the Super Bowl. In 1994, the Raiders moved from L.A. to Oakland, and the 49ers won the Super Bowl. And here we sit in 2019. The Raiders are moving from Oakland to Las Vegas, making that official yesterday, and the San Francisco 49ers are in the Super Bowl. And I saw that come out yesterday, and I looked at that story yesterday, and I'm like, man, that is just nothing that I want to see right now. That is not a good trend to have right now, because the Oakland Raiders are the ultimate vagabonds of the National Football League. There's really no place to call home because nobody really wants them up until now when Las Vegas built that nice stadium, but they'll tire of them and that act out there in Vegas, and they'll probably end up moving somewhere else before it's all said and done. But now is
finally
the
San Antonio.
Probably the San Antonio longer, finally.
Long rumors of that.
That's right. We're into that era now where the Raiders are just going to be bouncing around. But the first two times that they've moved, the last two times that they moved in 81 and 94, the San Francisco 49ers went on to win the Super Bowl. And so now we're looking at, you know, they say things come in threes, right, Josh? This would be the third time that the Oakland Raiders have moved and the San Francisco 49ers are in that Super Bowl. And I don't like that trend at all. We've got to buck that trend, and we got to go out there, get out to a fast start, throw the 49ers back, and absolutely demolish them early on in the game so this trend stops and it doesn't continue to move forward with every time the Raiders move, the 49ers win the Super Bowl. It's like every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings or something like that, right?
You know, sometimes you say, because it's a limited body of work or it's a small sample size. This is kind of not. This franchise has moved so many times.
Right.
Now
it is a small sample size, meaning every time it happens, the Niners win.
Teams don't move every day. So for them, this is a pretty big sample size.
And also, too, like if you're a Raiders fan right now, this has to be the worst possible Super Bowl for you, right?
Yes. Yes. We talked with Damon Bruce of our sister station, 97.5 The Game in San Francisco, and he'll join us coming up in about 5 minutes. But he had said that too, that hey, this is their worst scenario. He's not talked Raiders at all since they announced the move. He basically said you're not this the Bay Area's team anymore.
Yeah.
He's refused to talk about them. And so we needle him every once in a while about the Raiders, which he said this is the Raiders. This is just beautiful.
This is beautiful for the Raiders.
This is beautiful.
Yeah. I didn't
even think about that. San Francisco's in the Super Bowl and the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, their worst nightmare. And we both kind of laughed, like, yeah, I guess that would be the case. It's probably why they officially announced the move yesterday. Like,
right.
We're out.
Yeah, we're out. We're gone. We're done. We're not having any of this. And we are going to get the hell out of town. But it doesn't make any sense to me because they're still being headquartered in Oakland for the time being. And the draft is in Las Vegas. Their team is home in Las Vegas. And when the draft picks get selected by the Raiders, they're flying them to Oakland for a press conference. But that makes absolutely no sense that they're going to do that. They're going to take the players out of the city in which they are in, where their media is, and fly them to Oakland to meet the media that the media up there doesn't give a rat's behind about what's going on with the Oakland Raiders. So they are still a dysfunctional bunch. And to see this Super Bowl with their biggest rival and the team that they had to share the area with for so many years kind of come together and play for the championship, I would bet nobody in Raider Nation is watching this Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And they're probably doing something else, like, I don't know, trying to whatever Raider fans do when the Chiefs and 49ers are in the Super Bowl. Just not a good situation for them. Mark Davis's haircut. I can't believe somebody allows that guy to go out in public looking like that. Like, if you're his wife or his assistant, or there's got to be somebody that looks at Mark Davis and goes, enough. I mean, because yesterday in Las Vegas, it looked like he gave himself a haircut. Like, he took a pair of scissors and went across his head. It's awful. Like, it's embarrassing. And I don't know if he's doing it now as a joke. And he's kind of like, ha, 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 the joke's on you because I look like an ass.
I think he's doing that as a joke.
But I mean, that's terrible. Like, who's letting this man go out in public looking like that in an ill-fitting suit? Like, get yourself a groomer, man. Like, go to a pet groomer, because a pet groomer can take care of you better than what's going on right now with that mop.
I think a leisure suit.
Oh, my God.
Saw him at UFC 240. Vegas, wasn't personally there, but I saw they showed Mark Davis at UFC 246, and he was looking pretty rough.
And Tom Brady's with him. Like Brady's a good-looking dude. He's slick. He's got, you know, the fake hair, and it's dyed and all that kind of stuff. He could tell Mark Davis, look, do what I do. Get some fake hair. Color the hair a different color. Cut it differently. You look like Lloyd Christmas.
Also a great crowd shot at UFC 246. You'll enjoy this. They panned over and they said, hey, there's Browns defensive star Myles Garrett. And they put the graphic up underneath and it said Myles Garrett. And sitting right next to him is Baker Mayfield.
Nobody
they
noticed.
Never acknowledged
Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Baker Mayfield looks like he ate Baker Mayfield too. How much weight has that guy gained?
He's got a lot of work to do around the Browns facility.
He's eating at that concession stand every day. Gets you fat. We head to San Francisco to get the early lay of the land on the Niners with Damon Bruce of our sister station, 95.7 The Game, next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Yes, we'll play it.
Yes, coming
there
up.
There actually is a good Chiefs hype song.
We'll do it at 6:30. That'll be the debut of the new Mac Lethal Chiefs hype song.
I don't know if it's debuting yet.
There's on this show it is.
There's a good one. We've knocked all the bad. This one's good.
So it'll be the 6:30 debut.
We'll do it every hour on the 30s today. Why don't we do that? Every hour on the 30s. 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30.
At 8:30.
That's okay. That's all right. We can still give away money and listen to a song. You're going to play some music, you know?
We're great multitaskers here.
It smells like Cheerios in this studio today.
Come again?
It smells like Cheerios.
Like Honey Nut?
No, regular. Regular Cheerios. Sniff your box of Cheerios this morning, and that's what the studio smells like to me.
I don't know.
I think I've sniffed a box of Cheerios in a while.
You've never stuck your nose in a box of Cheerios and just went, Cheerios.
Time to head to
Welcome
San Francisco.
To Flavor Country.
Get the lay of the land with Damon Bruce of our sister station, 95.7 The Game. He doesn't talk any Raiders, as we mentioned, just Niners.
Just Niners. And really, Damon, the approach that I'm taking this week is kind of enjoying the ride this week. I'm not breaking down the offensive line for the 49ers or the defensive line for the 49ers.
Just yet, yeah.
Not just yet. No, that'll come next week. But this week, it's all about enjoying the ride, because what happened Sunday night was so special. Is that kind of the approach you guys are taking?
A smart, mature human being understands when to stop and smell the roses. And this is one of those times. Yes, the Super Bowl is awaiting us all. And it's going to be broken down a million different ways. But I'm going to start that next week, because this week really is a week to look at how a team reached the pinnacle of this sport. Obviously, in Kansas City, the climb has been just a phenomenal 2 years of football. Patrick Mahomes is a video game come to life. He is likable in every conceivable likability way an athlete could pretend to be liked. People who hate the Kansas City Chiefs really like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's who he is. And for the 49ers, look, you can't top 50 years since the big game. But it has been 25 years since the 49ers have won Super Bowls. And going to a Super Bowl that they don't win kind of doesn't count for Niner fans. So let's pretend that didn't happen against Harbaugh and the Ravens. And this is everything you want to be as a fan. You're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. So I agree with you, and congratulations. You're handling this the right way. Enjoy where you are and worry about what comes next in just a little bit. But
yeah.
Stop and smell the roses.
I totally feel that way. And being on the field on Sunday night to watch them hoist the, Lamar Hunt trophy and see the fans in the stadium, and just to be part of that from the atmosphere and the position that I was, really ingrained that into my mind. We waste so much time in sports thinking about what's next and what's going to happen in the future, that there's a lot of times that we forget just to stop and look around and live in the moment and enjoy the moment. And that's what I'm encouraging fans in Kansas City to do. And I can imagine 49er fans are kind of feeling that way, because 25 years is a long time, too. That's almost a whole generation since they last won a Super Bowl.
It certainly is. And look, the trips to championship rounds around here have been plentiful. I mean, what a decade that the Bay Area has just had. Three Giants World Series. We won't talk about one of them. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
They even sent the Sharks to the Stanley Cup, for goodness sakes. The Warriors went to five straight NBA Finals. And now here are the 49ers, who it feels like they're here at least a year too early. They've sort of cut the line and were a much better team than a team that normally picks second in the NFL draft last year when they were in that situation, thanks to an injury for Jimmy Garoppolo at Arrowhead. I mean, it really is amazing when you start tying these stories together. If the Kansas City Chiefs don't hurt Jimmy Garoppolo in week 3 last year, you're not facing the 49ers in the Super Bowl had you won it. The Kansas City Chiefs did as much to get Nick Bosa on the Niners roster as any team in football. So the way that this game will become interconnected, and this doesn't happen without that happening, the ascent of both these teams, a brilliant young head coach, a brilliant old guard coach. I mean, it really is. I tell you, when we do pivot towards let's talk football and this game, the matchup is going to be fascinating. And I think this is another huge win for the NFL. This game appeals to the diehard X's and O's football geeks out there. It appeals to people who love smash mouth football out there, and I think it really appeals to the casual fan who just wants a good reason to have a Super Bowl party. this game has watchability written all over it, and it's going to be an awful lot of fun.
You mentioned the injury to Garoppolo. That was a team that felt like they were on the rise then, but just the transformation that has happened since that point in time to take that team, how that season ended up being, parlaying into a really nice draft pick and then being here, that is a pretty fantastic rise in a short period of time as well.
It is. It's amazing. The Niners, after several years in a row of not hitting on draft picks or making prudent free agent decisions, it all kind of came together at once. I mean, John Lynch being named GM of the year, even though this really is Kyle's show and Kyle has final say on all of it. But John Lynch being named GM of the year is an easy call from the draft picks he made. I mean, Deebo Samuel was a rookie who didn't have much of a first half of the year. He is part and parcel of why this team is in the Super Bowl right now. He came on like a thunderbolt starting around week 8 or 9. Dre Greenlaw drafted, undrafted players like Raheem Mostert, Matt Breida, Quan Alexander, the free agent choice that people said was a little bit of a reach at the price point they brought him in for. Richard Sherman, for goodness sakes. I mean, the decisions that this team made all sort of hit, and they all hit in 1 year. And then it's one thing for everyone to hit individually. It's another thing for it to come together as a greater total than the sum of its individual pieces. And that's what every football team is trying to do. We got talent everywhere. How does it fit together? Well, it fits together unbelievably well here. It obviously fit together unbelievably well in Kansas City. I mean, I've never quite seen a quick strike offense quite like that. And this defense, as smothering and nasty as it is maybe the only defense in the NFL built to even to try to slow that down. I mean, if you told me the Kansas City Chiefs were going to be in the Super Bowl, I'd say there's probably no team that's going to beat them in the Super Bowl, except for maybe the Niners. So if the Niners get there, they'd have a problem. Because that defense in the running, in the history of Super Bowls, if you took the team with the best defense and running game, you had a pretty good shot at winning that bet. And I think that the Niners are the only team existing in the NFC who can put a defense and a running game scary enough down to make the Chiefs nervous. So, see, I tried to just smell the roses, but I can't. I can't help but walk right past them a little bit and go right to look at the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's human nature.
It is. It is, especially in sports talk radio, it's human nature. And it's also human nature to come up with crazy scenarios. San Francisco believes if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't get injured here last year, they're not in the Super Bowl. I tend to believe that if the knee doesn't pop out of Patrick Mahomes, maybe he doesn't lead this team to the Super Bowl, because at that point in time, his ankle was banged up and nobody was laying off that ankle. It's amazing how you look at those little moments and they translate and transcend things into big time moments.
And when you're looking at it in real time, you can't see it because you have no idea where this is going. Yeah, I mean, if buying Mahomes some rest, and I'll tell you, I think that when you come in and you have success with a backup quarterback, and look, football teams are a lot smarter than football fans and people who talk about football on the radio. Mm-hmm. They understand that no team is as good as its quarterback, and that's the end of the story. People looked at the Kansas City Chiefs and said, well, as Patrick Mahomes goes, so go they. And that's it. That's all there is to it. He's a spectacular quarterback. They're an okay team. But he's so good, he elevates everything. And in many ways, he truly does. But when you go 2-1 with the backup quarterback, it makes the guys in the locker room start looking at each other going, you know, this really is more than just him. Like, we're all pretty good at what we do. And in any coach's dream scenario, every player has got a little plug and play to them. If this guy gets unplugged, you plug the next guy in, and the machine keeps on rolling. Not that the Chiefs kept on rolling without Patrick Mahomes, but they did keep winning. And I just think things like that are important to locker rooms. I know we're taught that these are multimillionaires who have no, like, rah-rah, sis-boom-bah emotions. Yeah, it's also sports, and rah-rah, sis-boom-bah matters. Always has, always will. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised that the Chiefs... Well, how about this? I think a lot of people were surprised that the wheels didn't come off the Chiefs when Mahomes went down for a little while. And here they are. I mean, that is more than just a quarterback. That's a better football team than a lot of people want to admit.
Damon Bruce of our sister station, 95.7 The Game, out in San Francisco. And I guess we're going to be doing a simulcast with them tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour, talking a little smack back and forth to the Bay Area. And we are going to bring some serious Kansas City heat.
What?
We're going to win that battle.
I mean, with material like that, I can't see how you wouldn't.
We're gonna work on that.
Yeah, we are gonna work on that.
Yeah, we'll work on
that. 69306, we'll shout it out coming up. Many more people are preoccupied with this than he is, and there's a good Chiefs hype song. That's right. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Yo, we've waited 50 years for this. I'm 38 years old, and I've still waited 50 years for this. You ain't stopping this, baby. No way. Not a chance. Yo. You're looking at the AFC champs, the new winter-proof Chiefs kingdom that they just revamped. We chop with the tomahawk. It's freezing cold outside, but we about to make it hot like a Molotov. Bang! Tell the 49ers gang that we borderline insane. We sipping the champagne. We went on a campaign and deaded them. King Henry? We beheaded him. Tyreek Hill, catch him if you can. He running in the end zone and stretching out his hands. Sammy Watkins might take off and ever even land. And you know Travis Kelce is the man. Nico Hardman is running faster, but I'm coming at you like a honey badger. I split domes like Chris Jones, slamming quarterbacks and they end zone. Yeah, we the children of Andy Reid. We are the real kind of fans we bleed. We had to build on the land to breed a championship team with the skills and the hands and speed. We wear royal blue in the spring and summer, but man, in the winter or fall, we are very red. And we can be 0-16, and we're still probably gonna go and get a poppin' at an arrowhead. Attack in the zone, we react with miraculous traction. We'll crack you and sack you at home, and I'm sharing this imagery like I am Eric B. Enemy's bags in the back with the tones. We're immaculate, passionate, walking right up in your stadium, trashing it, taking your check, and we cashing it, Holmes. Everybody make a little noise for the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, this is a tomahawk chop. Throw your hands up, we ain't never gonna stop. Coming at the enemy to everybody drop, we poppin'.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, we do it for the town. The city is a kingdom and we do it for the crown. Everybody screaming, baby, listen to the sound. We coming.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, this is a tomahawk chop. Throw your hands up, we ain't never gonna stop. Coming at the enemy to everybody drop, we poppin'.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
We do it for the town. The city is a kingdom and we do it for the crown.
I will now rap for 49 seconds without breathing. There is not a better quarterback just on the planet than the Magic Man. Mahomes, the MVP, you understand it. He's a Kansas City legend, he's exciting, he's the best man. He was biting on the necks of all the Titans and the Texans. He can throw a perfect pass and put it right into your chest, man. It don't matter, he can get you with his right hand or his left hand. He can rush it to the end zone, he can jump right out of pocket. Got a cannon for an arm, it's like a rifle and a rocket. If you think another quarterback is like him, better stop it. He'll go psycho and attack you like a tiger. And the Drabbix had an injury this year, he bursts a beard and gave it better. He's a leader and a star and he don't buckle from the pressure, man. We're doing this for Derrick, Tony, Priest, and Lamar. And then we're thinking about the 50 years of seasons in the garbage bin. We're putting on a cleat, you know it's time to play some ball. We gotta do this for Willie, Buck, and Bobby, even Jamal. We gotta conquer your attention, Kansas City, man. It's time to free the monster. Gonna win the Lombardi and do it proper, man. We're going to the Super Bowl at Clinton City's tears. You know the time is now. We gotta get revenge for 50 years where every single one of us has been suffering with a broken heart. We're doing it for Andy. Gotta do it for the owner, Clark. Every single one of us, we gotta have a leaf. Everybody make some noise for the Kansas City Chiefs!
That was freaking awesome.
When he doesn't breathe.
Yeah, that was awesome. Like, that was legit awesome. Oh my God. Like, Melissa Etheridge can put that in her California weed and smoke it. That thing was great. Holy
finally,
cow.
Finally. Whoa. Well done, Mackley.
Wow. Man, if that doesn't get you going, nothing will.
At Mack Lethal on Twitter. Make sure you check out his YouTube, too.
Woo!
And when he got out the stopwatch and did the, you know,
the 49-second thing is remarkable.
At about 18, I felt like I couldn't. Like, I was like getting lightheaded.
Lightheaded, yes.
Yeah, you're like, like he's got to go another 30 seconds. Stop breathing.
My God, that was good.
Yes. So, see, there can be a good one.
Right.
Yes.
Nice we found job. It. Nicely
well,
done.
Well job. Well done job. So, we'll play that on the 30s today. How about that?
That's right. 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, and 9:30.
There you go. There you go. When you find a good one, you gotta
go with use it. Yeah,
so,
that's good.
Nice job by Mac awesome. Lethal and his Chiefs Anthem 2020. Everybody seems to be preoccupied about Andy Reid winning that second or that first Super Bowl in his second appearance. Mm-hmm. Really, everybody except Andy Reid, right? I think it it means more to some than it might to Andy, who says it hasn't kept him up at night not having a Super Bowl win.
Listen, life's bigger than that. Now that doesn't tell you I don't want to win. I don't want that to be, I mean, this is America, man. I'm in it to win. That's what we do. And that's how you're, so I don't want that to be slighted. But I also understand, I have a perspective of life. Maybe it's my age now, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to, you know, work hard and coach hard, do all those things, and I'm in swinging, so the best of my ability. But I'm not going to tell you that, you know, there aren't other things in life. I understand that, too.
Yeah, perspective, man. That's perspective from a man who's coached 19 years, has had his ups and downs in his coaching career, has had his ups and downs in life like everybody has. And I really saw Andy Reid in a different light when his little granddaughter ran out to him after the win against the Houston Texans and he scooped her up and hugged her. And I looked at that moment, I went, yeah, this is a guy who understands there are priorities in life, and it's about family. It's about everything else, and this is great. This is gravy on top of everything that he's accomplished in his coaching career. But at the end of the day, Andy Reid understands, if I never win one of these, I still lived a pretty good life. And I like the fact that he's able to put it into perspective, because I don't think a lot of folks are able to do that when they're caught up in that world of sports. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. What do we got today, Brother Ryan?
Someone on the text line says it's their birthday today and their five-year-old doesn't understand why he doesn't consider it a big deal.
Yeah, because...
I don't either.
You take your birthday off.
I love my birthday.
Oh, well, you don't understand.
It's the one time of year you get to just celebrate you.
Yeah, well, I
like once Father's Day, me.
Once you get to like a certain age, like what's the benefit anymore? Like 20, 18, you get to buy lottery tickets, and back in the day... Red man. Now you get to, because now you got to be 21 for tobacco products, I believe.
21,
right?
You got to drink.
21, you 20, got to drink.
25, you're like insurance went
car
down.
Car insurance went down.
Insurance went down. You could rent a car.
35, yeah. You can run for president.
35, you can run for president. Very after that, time. What's the point? Sure. You know, there's no other like momentous kind of line to cross once you hit that third. Like, I was going to say I stop at 25, but you guys said, oh, yeah, 35, you can run for president. But after that, like, what else is there?
I mean, I don't throw a party without... for myself every
year. No, but
year,
you go right? to every restaurant in town and eat flapjacks for
yeah,
free.
Yeah, don't pretend like you don't
what's
enjoy your
what's wrong
birthday.
With that?
No, but nothing.
That's you Denny's do. Damn fault for giving away a grand slam on your birthday.
Correct. You do you, man. You do you, and that's fine. But don't say you don't celebrate it, because you do.
No, I absolutely do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's the one day you get to celebrate you.
You're only celebrating getting older and closer to death.
That's not true. I'm also celebrating getting drunk and free pancakes.
Well, I mean, but you're celebrating getting older. I don't like the aging process. I don't. My mind is 9.
It's
my
an
body's 43.
Of life.
I know. I don't like it. I can like inevitabilities or evitabilities or whatever the word was that you used.
Inevitability.
Inevitability. I don't like it. I don't like the aging process. I hate it.
And you gave me crap for not knowing the word doting. You want to feel stupid, try wiping with your opposite hand.
Oh, extremely possible. You ever have like a Band-Aid or something on your normal hand? Yeah, it's hard. It's not good.
Brushing your teeth with your left hand, oh, also not
well,
good.
Well, see, I'm left-handed, so that works for me. But if I try to do it right-handed like I'm doing it right now, it's hard. I can, like, there's no way.
Got bleeding gums.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're hitting gums. Blood's flying
you're not
everywhere.
Amphibious?
No, I'm not.
Anyway. Quick Trip or 7-Eleven, asked the 913. That's... feels like a clown question.
Yeah, it is.
One's been updated in the last decade.
Yeah, right. It's true. Even though my guy Anthony at the 7-Eleven is like my dude and all, but I mean, nothing.
There's something old school about walking into those that I do enjoy,
right.
But it's, yeah, they're not the same.
But I do like if you're ranking convenience stores, Wawa is number one with a bullet nationally.
I'm again?
Quick Trip is number two. Wawa is by far the best convenience store.
You've obviously
store.
Never Buc-ee'd.
Buc-ee's is good too. That is true. I've not been to the Buc-ee's
never
yet.
Heard of them.
But yeah, they have like 90 gas pumps.
7-Eleven does have surprisingly good chicken wings. I'm just throwing that out there.
Really?
They've been sitting there since Tuesday.
That's why I said it's surprisingly good. I don't know if they've been sitting there that long. Tennis should work harder to shed its country club vibe and reveal its intensity and coolness. That's the 913.
Josh, you texting in today?
I am not, no.
Someone asking, what was the rapper's Twitter handle? @MacLethalMAC. Lethal.
Better spell that, too.
Yeah, he doesn't know how. That's why he
lethal,
said it.
Lethal? L-E-T-H-A-L, right?
Right. Lethal. I don't know.
So that was a question mark at the end.
L-E-T-H-A-L?
Was that?
What?
Kind of want to bet the 49ers in the Super Bowl in case the Chiefs lose. I won't feel completely depressed.
No, don't do that. Chiefs aren't losing.
It's not a terrible, terrible plan.
To hedge your bet. Either way, you're a winner.
Nah. It's true. 913 says giving a gift with the price tag still visible.
That's
a power play.
Yeah, right, that's that's
depends little, what the price says. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's $7.99, you black that out with a Sharpie. $17.99. Look, I spent a couple bucks on you.
Today's my mom's last radiation treatment. Big shout out to her.
Big shout out to your mom. Go get it done.
Ring that bell.
Go get it done.
My birthday's on Christmas. That sucks, says the 816. Yeah, that it's got to suck to share a birthday with Jesus.
Yeah, that does. My daughters are the 8th and 28th of December, so they're right around that same time. But being on Christmas, yeah, that would be tough. Everybody's celebrating everything else, and then, hey, it's my birthday.
785, the Bulls logo upside down looks like a robot violating a crab. That is true.
That is, yes.
And once you hear it and see it, you can't unsee it.
That is correct.
That is very true.
The dots in a Ritz cracker spell sex.
Come again now?
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't.
Give me a Ritz cracker. I'll show you. I learned it in high school journalism, like advertising stuff, you know? And you can see it's absolutely 100% the dots spell sex in a Ritz cracker.
Is this like one of those like old Disney movie things?
No. I'll show you. Give me a Ritz and I'll show it to you.
I don't have a Ritz cracker.
Well, go find one.
That seems like a request that you can't just do with the drop of a hat.
I don't think we have that in our thing here.
We'll see.
Just some edamame.
You think D. Ford can wipe with his left hand?
Was it?
I was loading salt. Did Kling just ask if I'm listening?
What?
I did not.
Load. Maybe he's out on the streets salting. Yes.
No, Kling did not ask.
I did not ask if you're listening, but I'm glad you are.
I'm glad you are, too. Welcome to the party.
Yeah.
Hope you brought the plates.
Every time I go somewhere now, I'm looking like nobody brought plates.
Yeah. You've totally noticed it. I know.
I told you. I saw something.
Where were we? And I said, Ryan would have had the plates. We were somewhere recently.
It was at a rally house.
Yeah,
I was stunned that I didn't bring the plates.
You didn't have plates. I'm like, Ryan? Hello.
I saw something floating around the interweb. Somebody said we should do a citywide barbecue to celebrate the Chiefs and like all the different cities were going to bring certain things. I think they were trying to be cheeky and fun. And Independence was bringing the plates and napkins.
The plates and napkins, right. Well, that's where you're from. You suggested it.
I lost it.
Olathe will bring the wet wipes, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Cloth napkins.
The Leewood's bringing the cloth napkins.
That is today's edition of Shout It Out.
Dana Wright would not stand for paper napkins.
816, can you remind people the rain's not freezing? Speed up. I don't know if that's the greatest plan, but.
There's still some slick spots out there today. Former Chiefs coach Dick Vermeil has some interesting stuff to say about the Niners. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in Thursday edition, Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco and Ryan Witkowski. I'm Josh Klingler. Former Chiefs head coach Dick Vermeil dropped by the show yesterday to discuss Andy Reid getting back to another Super Bowl. Of course, Coach Vermeil now resides in the Philly area. And he's obviously known Andy for a long time. Their Eagles ties go back. And so he's definitely in Andy's corner rooting for a Super Bowl. But also, maybe retired. That doesn't mean he's not still scouting what's up.
He's Vermeil
breaking down the 49ers a bit.
Very, very fine football team. It's going to take a very fine football team to beat him. Their running game goes back to Alex Gibbs and Bob McKittrick, the great line coaches in the league. That's still the old. Their offensive line comes off the ball in the old-fashioned way. They come off, they zone block wonderfully well. They run all the power plays. They pull, they trap, they do it all. They force defenses to defense plays that they haven't defensed all year. When was the last time you saw people in an I formation toss the ball, run outside, both strong side and weak side? They do it. People quit doing all that stuff. Now they have an advantage as the defenses don't see it every week. So you got to get prepared to see an offense that you don't defense all the time. They're not all spread all over them. They don't care if you got 10 men in the box. They're going to knock your ball off the ball. And they do it the old-fashioned way. I think they've done an outstanding job.
How about Coach?
Yeah, he's got it all dialed in, man. I tell you what, as
he's
you
like,
mentioned,
they don't do this stuff. I haven't seen this for a while.
Yeah, this is old school 1980s, what we grew up with type of football when Summerall and Madden were on your screen. And they were on yesterday on NFL Network doing the Chiefs 49ers game from 1994, Joe Montana versus Steve Young here at Arrowhead Stadium. And that was an all-timer, that game. That was a lot of fun. I watched a little bit of that yesterday. But that was old school football in and of itself. I'm just watching the two offenses in that game. And at that time, like, you know, San Francisco was kind of revolutionary with Steve Young and all that. And I'm watching these offenses. I'm like, oh, my God, how far this game has come. Because just looking back in 1994, it was so kind of old school and antiquated. But at the end of the day, that's still what wins football games, man. If you can man up and kick somebody's ass, you're going to win. And if you got an offensive line that dominates the defensive line, you're going to win that football game. And if you can have a power running game, you're going to win that football game. And so San Francisco does a lot of those old school type of things. And I love listening to Coach break those things down, because he's not a guy that just doesn't pay attention anymore. He is dialed in. He's watching these teams play week in and week out and still following the game at a rate that's probably higher than any other coach that's retired right now. He knows exactly what's going on in the National Football League and keeps his eye on it all the time. And so when he sits there and says that stuff about San Francisco, you got to go, oh, God. I mean, they may be a tough offense to kind of slow down and stop a little bit because of that power running game and the way that they just grind you out and work it and work it and work it. But, hey, the Chiefs have faced every challenge so far in the last 8 to 10 weeks, and they've accomplished and taken care of business, and I don't think anything different is going to happen. I don't care how they run the football or how they grind it out. If the Chiefs got a challenge on defense that's facing them, they're going to go out there and they're going to take that challenge on head on, and they're going to make it personal. I mean, I think going into the game and leading up into next week, we're going to hear about it again from this defense. You don't think we can stop the run. You know, they're going to use that as motivation, much like they did last week with the guy who ran for 69 yards, King Henry. And so I think they're going to use this for motivation again against Mike Shanahan's son and his team.
I feel like for meals, like, Spags, we can sit down and talk if you like.
Yeah.
Like
we're going to call him Mike Shanahan's son all week.
That's right. What we're doing. Yeah, that's right.
Man's in the Super Bowl.
Good for him. Haven't won anything yet.
Sounds like using some of Dad's playbooks.
Looks like
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dad didn't win a Super Bowl until he had Terrell Davis, right? I mean, that's ultimately how the Broncos got over the hump, right? You had an all-world quarterback, all-world offense, pretty good defense. It couldn't do anything until Terrell Davis got there and gave them that running game, gave them that legitimate running game. And so if you're Mike Shanahan's son and you're coaching the 49ers and you're in the Super Bowl, why wouldn't you lean on old man Dad and say, what did you do? You won back-to-back Super Bowls. How did you do it? Terrell Davis, obviously a big part of that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the storylines in this one are indeed cool. When you have the father son, aspect of this thing,
it here too. Andy Reid's son is on the coaching staff, so you got a father son deal.
You have Andy trying to win that elusive Super Bowl. You have a guy that's on the up of his career, mm-hmm. trying to replicate a little bit of what Dad did.
And many people are looking at him as a choke artist for the way that he called plays at the end of that Super Bowl in Atlanta that year when the Falcons ended up blowing that 28-3 lead or whatever it was.
We're going to have the obviously the run game will be a big part of things. You're going to have what's considered the two best tight ends in a Super Bowl matchup head to head. So there's a lot of fun stuff we're going to get to over the next week when it comes to this game. I think interesting matchup between the Chiefs and the Niners should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is more interesting than I thought it was going to be, you know, at the beginning of the week. And the more you kind of look at it, you realize, like, I know San Francisco started 8-0, but maybe your West Coast thing, Josh, where LeBron goes to the West Coast and you forget about him. Like, at 8-0, and I know it's the NFL, but I just never really, like, jumped on the San Francisco bandwagon. I was always like, well, Seattle's going to be better. Maybe Green Bay is going to be better. You know, there's going to be somebody else. I never thought San Francisco was going to be that team. And they stood the test of time all year long, and they've played great on both sides of the ball. And now the Chiefs are playing great on both sides of the ball. And I think we're looking at the two teams that are playing the best football right now that are ultimately in the Super Bowl. And that's what you want to be doing. You want to play your best right now. And I think both San Francisco and Kansas City are playing their best.
Coming up at 7, he's using the force, the calming force, that is. We'll discuss that coming up in about 5 minutes. Whit Merrifield will be at FanFest, right, coming up Friday and Saturday. And we're going to have a 4-pack of tickets actually to give away coming up in just a few minutes well.
It's like things get dovetailed together.
To FanFest. We're just weaving it all together. But Whit Merrifield appeared on the Clubhouse Convo podcast discussing All-Star games. He made his first All-Star game last year, right?
Rightfully so.
And maybe should have two under his belt.
It was incredibly special. Just to kind of sit back and reflect on my journey throughout the course of my baseball life, to finally get to the peak of the profession, and to enjoy it with my family was something I'll always remember and always cherish. But going back to 2018, I'm going to consider myself an all-star with all this stuff that's come out about the Astros, because Jose Altuve took my spot that game. So I'll just we'll put an asterisk by 2018, and we'll take that 2018 all-star. And on top of it, we'll just go ahead and throw in a silver slugger for good measure.
Wow! Way you go!
Way to go,
Whit. Altuve is up to some stuff. Let's just vacate everything he did and put Whit Merrifield in there.
You know, in this situation, I am glad that, like, Major League Baseball players and people from all the other teams aren't taking the, you know, well,
it's,
you
just
know,
baseball,
I was, it's
just, or,
yeah,
or I didn't,
right, yeah. I'm glad people are speaking their minds on this. And, you know, Pedro Martinez is out there calling out Mike Fiers as a bad teammate for not saying anything when he, you know, just for saying something now that he's no longer with the Houston Astros. I don't think that makes you a bad teammate. I think that just makes you a whistleblower and somebody who says, look, I don't feel comfortable with what I was a part of in Houston right now, and I'm not going to let it continue because it affected a lot of people and a lot of jobs. I mean, you think about the way that the Houston Astros cheated and won that World Series, continuing the moniker that the Dodgers can't get things done, that Clayton Kershaw isn't a big game, you know, type of pitcher. How many guys ultimately lost jobs or were kept down in the minor leagues or whatnot because they didn't perform well? Like, what they were doing was not only helping them win, but it was sabotaging 29 other teams in Major League Baseball. And it is so hard to get to that level. Ask Whit Merrifield how long it took him to get to the big leagues. And you got the Houston Astros out here cheating and padding stats and doing things illegally out of the scope of the game that, you know, it's not like, you know, agreed upon cheating where you're stealing a sign from second base. This went to a completely different level that nobody else was doing, and they were putting themselves at a huge, huge, huge advantage, and it was helping them, but it was also demoralizing other people, and you were ruining lives of other human beings because of the way that you were going out there and cheating to an excessive level. Could you imagine if Whit Merrifield or if the Astros weren't cheating and Whit Merrifield was that all-star the year before, the silver slugger the year before? Maybe that cat got more money in his contract because he's looked at as the best second baseman in the American League and not cheating Altuve. I mean, there are so many people in baseball that love Jose Altuve and the way that he plays the game and the way that he goes about his business. Now you look at Jose Altuve and you go, pretty much a fraud. And we got Whit Merrifield now who may have gotten screwed because of that. And that's bullcrap.
Yeah, I mean, it directly could have affected his pocketbook, no doubt about it. But I just like the fact, too, that the players coming out and they're like, hey, we acknowledge people are trying to cut corners, people trying to do whatever.
Right.
They're pissed about this.
They're pissed, and they're saying it, and I like it. I don't want to hear a company line of, oh, we're all in the, you know, the Players Association together, and we're all technically brothers. Cause, no, they were screwing you. That's Major League Baseball players are like a family, and the Houston Astros are now that, like, that one brother that nobody wants to talk to because he's an ass.
So Whit would like a silver slugger, please.
Well, I think they should give it to him, right?
Rap on the door. Yes.
Here comes David Baker with the Silver Slugger.
I'm here for my
award.
Silver Slugger, please. And yeah, the asterisks by all of Altuve's stuff in 18. So,
right.
Whit Merrifield not pulling punches. That's pretty cool.
I like it. No love lost there.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. Speaking of Royals Fan Fest, how about a four-pack of Saturday tickets? Fan Fest is Friday and Saturday at the Kansas City Convention Center. The event features, of course, autograph sessions with current and former Royals, interactive games for fans of all ages, main stage programming, and more. For more info or tickets, go to royals.com/fanfest. But you can win a four-pack for Saturday, and Ryan will make it easy for you to get them.
Oh, you know I like to keep it super simple on the people. Just listen and dial. Listen for this.
That's not even a week's worth of smoking.
Next time you hear that, be caller number.
Let's go with caller number 15 for Whitley Merrifield and Patrick Mahomes.
Caller number 15, the next time you hear that, drop 913-576-7610. I'm going to give the four-pack of Saturday tickets to FanFest.
We all love that commercial,
that
right?
Great.
So everybody that's heard that one's probably laughing with us, hopefully.
Right.
The big storyline still is going to be Andy, right?
Right.
Can Andy get it done? I mean, we all want it for ourselves, right? As Chiefs fans, we all want this title for ourselves. But There's definitely a piece of me that says I want Andy validation at the end of this thing too.
I do too. I want that more than anything. Like if you're ranking the things, you know, I'm 43. I was -7 the last time the Chiefs won it, so it hasn't been quite 50 years for me. But I think from an NFL standpoint, man, like Andy Reid revitalized our city, our team, and we are here at this spot because of Andy Reid. Quite honestly. Nobody else. I mean, if Andy Reid doesn't come here to Kansas City, we're not in the Super Bowl. We probably don't have Patrick Mahomes. And I don't know where we are as an organization right now. So I want it for Andy Reid because he restored the Chiefs to a great organization and really took them to a level that we've never seen before. So I want this Super Bowl for obviously fans, but for Andy Reid, man, I really want to see him get it as a reward for turning around our franchise.
And we heard from Andy earlier, he kind of downplays, like, there are other people that want a Super Bowl for him, probably more than he is worried or staying up or sweating not having a Super Bowl for himself.
Right.
Tim Hasselbeck of ESPN says the Chiefs being relaxed, though, in this matchup is their key.
I believe he's won more games than any coach has never won a Super Bowl. I think he now will become one of only 7 guys ever to take 2 different teams to a Super Bowl.
Yep.
His job as a head coach and what he's done throughout his career has been remarkable, but he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. And I think the thing that will be key for this team going forward is that they don't all of a sudden become tense and feel the pressure and the weight of that. And it'll be interesting to hear Andy's message about that because they've been a really relaxed team.
Yeah,
they were down 24-0 last week and they were relaxed. So that's going to be interesting to see kind of how that ends up playing out because the magnitude of that for Andy, I think the players, you can tell from listening to them, they feel it.
Yeah, they want it for him. They've all talked about it coming out of the AFC Championship game. But the cool, calm, collected Andy is the Andy you want.
That's exactly
in these
right.
situations. And Patrick Mahomes says he is the calming force.
See, he's the same person every single day. Same person if we're winning or if we're losing. He's going to have that same fire, but at the same time, still being able to teach in the moment and really get the best out of every single person. I think that's a huge thing. And you've seen it these last few weeks when we're down, and you've seen it when we've been up in games, we still have that same mentality of taking it one play at a time and trying to be great for that play.
That's the Andy I sign up for. For right,
That's the Andy that you want.
I want the even keel. I mean, I've been as critical about him, like not having emotion, and at times even questioning, like I think he really likes to coach. Does this having a Super Bowl, should it mean a little bit more to him, and those types of things? But in a get into it week, getting ready for a game, that's the guy I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't waver and is just flatlined. I love that portion of Andy for specifically getting ready for individual matchups.
Well, and that's the Andy you want on the sidelines on Sunday, too. You go back to that Texan game down 24-0, and if you had a football coach out there that was losing his mind and was in panic mode because they were down 24-0 early on in that game, they would not have been able to come back and win that football game. And I think ultimately that's the style that you want. I mean, that's the Ned Yost approach that we talked about. You never saw Ned, you know, screaming and yelling in the dugout. He was always a calm, even-keeled guy in that dugout. And I think that is very, very important when you're leading a group of men into a game, into a contest like that. You have to be cool. You have to be calm. You can't show fear. You can't show that you're nervous because the minute you do that as a head football coach or a leader, well, that's what everybody kind of adopts, and that's what everybody else kind of takes on around you. And I think right now having Andy be calm is going to help the players be calm because the last thing we want are, you know, tight guys on Super Bowl Sunday feeling like they have to make every play perfect because if they don't, they're not going to be able to win this thing for Andy Reid. And I think having Andy as that head coach and that calm demeanor is so important because he will take the focus off himself. He'll keep this team loose. And also what's going to help keep everybody loose, calm, cool, and collected, I think, is the leadership with Ty and Pat and all these guys out there that have become the leaders of this organization. They are going to keep everybody calm and loose and focused in and not let them get caught up in one bad play here or a bad play there. They're not going to get caught up if they lose 10-0. There's not going to be fall behind 10-0. There's not going to be finger pointing. There's not going to be blaming going on. And I think that attitude is so important to have going into this game because the 2-week lead up to this game, there's a lot going on. These guys have a lot of, you know, obligations. There's people coming after you from all different ends trying to get tickets and talk to you and all this kind of stuff. And you've got to remain calm. You've got to remain focused. And having a guy like Andy Reid who's been here before,
who's a calm demeanor as it is, I think is a huge, huge, huge advantage over Mike Shanahan's son, who hasn't been here before as a head coach.
I just really like, I mean, it starts with the I had a cheeseburger and go to bed.
Right.
That's not even a week's worth of smoking.
As much as it's funny, one, to hear Andy say that's how he celebrated the AFC Championship, it's also, I'm not saying like Uber, get in your playbook, but also the I got this.
Mm-hmm.
The I got this Andy is, again, my favorite Andy. The one where I feel like I don't have to worry, you got it. You go and do all those things. And then you see it, you know, his preparation is outstanding. His calm demeanor, I think, is his best asset. The calm, cool, collected, I got this. Nothing panics me. Shouldn't panic you because we got this. We've taken care of it. Mm-hmm. We've done all this stuff. I got it. That's a unique skill set of
a cheeseburger and went to bed.
Good.
Yeah.
Like, you can enjoy it after it's all done,
mm-hmm.
and I hope you do. I hope you don't have a cheeseburger and go to bed if you win the Super Bowl.
Like Monday morning after the Super Bowl when he's doing that press conference, Andy, what did you do to celebrate last night?
Cheeseburger and went to bed.
Because I still see Kelsey running around the streets of Miami.
Right.
What did you do? I had a cheeseburger and went to bed. Yeah. I hope that's not the case for Andy
Reid.
Well, I mean,
maybe that night, but then after, you know, because it is a quick turnaround of that one, the Monday morning.
Oh, come on.
But I would like to think that he will enjoy it after it's all said and done. But getting to that point and, you know, taking everything as normal this week before you even head out,
mm-hmm.
I think that they've just approached it the right way, and I have no doubt in my mind they will be fully prepared a week from Sunday.
Well, that's why we go back to what we talked about earlier in the show today about Andy Reid saying that, you know, he wants to win this game, but he understands there's more to life than just winning a football game. But he's also approaching it as this is just another football game. I mean, this is just another game. This is another game week for Andy Reid. Yes, it's the Super Bowl. Yes, a lot of people are going to be watching. Yes, it's 2 weeks in between games. Yes, you're playing for a championship and all that. But I don't want that to be the approach. I want Andy Reid to have the exact approach that we had where he woke up on Monday morning and said, okay, time to get ready for the 49ers, and goes into the office and starts to get ready for the 49ers like it's a normal game week in September. And that's the approach that you want. You don't want to change anything. You don't want your routine to be different. You want everything to be the same. And when you looked at the schedule that came out this week, it is like a week 7 schedule. It's the same damn schedule, and that's exactly what you want going into the Super Bowl, because if you start to change things up, then that does set in panic with your players too. Oh, it's bigger. It's bigger. This keeps the players at ease. This keeps everybody normal for this week leading up to the Super Bowl, and I think that's the perfect way to approach it.
Yeah, we're not oblivious to the fact that it is bigger, and
right.
You're going to have more demands on you, but
sure.
We're going to keep some things normal to try to keep you
Locked in.
Calm and prepared and locked in.
And you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who's an agent in the NFL yesterday, and we were talking about just what the demands are of Super Bowl week. And he says, because you don't even know the half of it. Like you don't even know the half of what the demands are on these players. People are calling. People want tickets. People are complaining that they don't like the tickets that you gave them. I mean, they're
right.
No, I'm not kidding.
Why did your favorite cousin get a worse ticket than your uncle did? Whatever,
right.
I don't know.
Right.
You know,
so,
yeah,
so like,
I can imagine.
You're just dealing with minutia and nonsense.
Dumb stuff, yeah.
And you're getting it all out of the way this week, because I think when you go to Miami, when you take off from Kansas City and you land in Miami, you text your mom, you text your dad, we landed okay, phone off, and you're done. And you're not dealing with the outside noise. You got to have good people around you, and I think a lot of people on this team do have good people around them that can handle all that outside noise. And once we get to Miami, we're not focused on, you know, Patrick Mahomes' cousin, you know, that needs an extra ticket and a parking pass. Like that stuff has to be taken care of this week, and we're done with that as of Friday.
Oh, Cuban burger. That's what he's going to go with.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good choice.
Do they make Cuban burger? That sounds terrific to me. Put a little pulled pork and some ham on top.
And some Swiss and some mustard. And
I like
smash
a spicy brown on my Cuban.
Well, the technical Cuban is the yellow, and I'm not a yellow mustard guy. I throw some pickle on there, but I'm a spicy brown with you, man. I'll tell you what, Emeril's New York City style mustard, phenomenal.
I had a Cuban at Twin Peaks over the weekend.
How was it?
Terrific.
With yellow mustard, or did you?
Oh, it was spicy brown.
Spicy brown as well.
I'll have to try that.
It was amazing.
Did we have a winner for the tickets?
Oh, yeah. Tom and Lee Summit.
All right, Tom's going to go to FanFest.
A lovely conversation with Tom.
We'll have more tickets to give away for FanFest coming up. That was our 7 o'clock hour prize, though, just for listening. Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio. He dotes on Mahomes and the Chiefs with us next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.